Welcome to the CBS and Days of Our Lives edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're going to be discussing rumors of As the World Turns and Guiding Light being picked up, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. Joining me today, I have Jay, our resident soap historian. Welcome.
How's it going?
Also with us, we have Mike, who, being our Procter & Gamble guy, must be excited.
I'm thrilled.
Are you thrilled?
Absolutely. Yeah, actually, it's good. It's definitely good if it's true. Yeah.
Well, let's hope it is. We'll be discussing this and much, much more, so stay tuned. Initially, one rumor had it that As the World Turns was being renewed through 2009 along with Guiding Light, and that CBS had the option to renew Guiding Light through 2010. They didn't say exactly if there had been an option on As the World Turns. Another report had it that the two shows have been renewed through 2009, and that apparently CBS has picked up an option for renewing both shows because they have apparently became a package deal, quote-unquote. If it's a package deal, does this mean then that the fact that As the World Turns has been doing so well in the ratings, I mean, for most of this year and part of last year, it sat at number three. It's been trading spots at number three with General Hospital, though not in demos, but just in overall households. Does this mean that in many respects, Guiding Light's fate doesn't necessarily lie so much in of itself, but the performance of its stronger sibling? Jay?
Well, we all know that's been the rumor, that, you know, if one goes, both go. I don't know. I don't know if that's...
Just assuming, hypothetically speaking, they have now become a package deal.
I don't agree with that. Hypothetically speaking, I don't think that. I think it's more a decision of – I don't think Procter & Gamble wants to get out of the soap business. I think they just need a venue to keep airing them. So I think it's all based on whether or not CBS still feels like they can make a buck off of these soaps.
But do you think that it's possible that As the World Turns could be canceled because of Guiding Light, or that –
I've always heard where there's smoke, there's fire. That rumor is definitely out there that they are a package deal. I would hope that that's not the case, because As the World Turns is, in my opinion, doing a lot better than Guiding Light and has for several years. And I would just hate to see us lose both of the last two P&G soaps just because one isn't doing, you know, it's kind of like if they're Siamese twins and one is dying, you know. It's like, come on, cut one off and save the other if you have to. I mean, that'd be my take. I'd hate to see both of them go. I don't want to see either one go, but I would hate to see As the World Turns die because Guiding Light dies.
Mike, what are your thoughts? If, hypothetically, they have become a package deal, do you think now Guiding Light's fate is more dependent on whether or not As the World Turns continues to do well?
Well, I think that if they go as a package deal... My thought actually was that at some point that if they were both on the block, that they would consider having to put the two together or knock them both back to a half hour or make some modifications so that both of them are in the same boat. I would really hate to see one riding on the coattails of the other. I think it would help Guiding Light if As the World Turns was always a renewable show. But I would hate to think that As the World Turns would rely on Guiding Light, because it's just not as good a show.
Well, then that's the thing. I mean, if it is in fact true that they have become a package deal, wouldn't that then mean that As the World Turns would be getting the short end of the stick should cancellation decisions be made?
That's what it sounds like to me. It also means that, you know, they may go the way of having to modify the way they do business, so you may find As the World Turns piggybacking on this whole production thing.
Oh, we're already seeing that.
They've been doing stuff, right? They've been experimenting with it, but they haven't completely done away with it altogether.
You brought up an interesting topic, which I hadn't thought about before posing the question. That is the possibility that they could both become two half-hour soaps. Or it has long been reported / rumored that Procter & Gamble will not stay in the soap business for one soap. which is why, in many respects, the rumors have also led to the fact that this is a package deal. Do you think that CBS would air 3 half-hour shows on its lineup in its in the current state?
No, that doesn't make good business sense at all to me. The way I see it, I mean, the way, what would make the most sense is if Guiding Light doesn't survive, they should do basically like they did when Another World got canceled. You know, you take Kim Zimmer, Robert Newman, Beth Ehlers, and maybe someone else from Guiding Light and give them the option to spin them off over to As the World Turns, you know, as sort of a consolation prize to the GL fan base. But I don't know. You know, these rumors, you know, they've always been out there, but P&G would definitely be doing business a lot different than they did in the past. I mean, when they developed Another World, it was supposed to be an As the World Turns spinoff. When CBS didn't want to buy it, they sold it to NBC. So they didn't, you know, it was a production company just like your primetime production companies that will develop a show for any network. I don't know if maybe that's a little, I mean, maybe the rumor is a little far-fetched, just what I'm saying. You know, I don't know if they would, I think they're going to look at them each, you know, for the economics of the time and, you know, I don't know. I don't see it being a package deal.
I guess my next question then becomes, if it is a matter of quality, obviously As the World Turns, writing is far superior to the Guiding Light. Guiding Light is saving its neck continually by making production costs. I think that is evident in the fact that even though we now have cheaper sets, we have absolutely no supporting characters in the background. I mean, you watch Guiding Light and it's like a two-person show. Every single scene is two people. Even at restaurants, there's only two people in the restaurant, or three. I would hope that with these production costs that we'd be able to get some more background people. Because did either of you find it odd when Lizzie and Alan's intended for her were at the restaurant and there was no one else in supposedly this fancy restaurant? Did either of you find that weird?
I didn't really even really notice it, to be honest with you.
It's just that you become so accustomed to no one being in the background on Guiding Light.
Yeah. It's such a sparse show, and the sets have been like that for so long. It's just become part of the norm, and I guess I really didn't pay attention to it.
And I think that might be in part because, like, for me, I notice it because I watch a lot of ABC, and even Days of Our Lives has more people in the background, specifically at restaurants. Jay, what do you think of the fact that they could be spending a little bit more money on background people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will never agree with the concept of cutting production costs to save a soap. That, like, flies in the face of everything Gloria Monty did. You know, you're not going to – soaps are – you know, Luke, we've talked about this. They are basically at their heart a fantasy, a wish fulfillment vehicle. And we don't want to see sparsely decorated sets. We want to see these glamorous people leading glamorous lives, you know, and Guiding Light does kind of really look depressing visually, in my opinion, with, you know, with, I mean, come on, how much can an under five actor really set you back? I mean, I don't know. I think they need to spend money to make money. I mean, you know, like, I mean, not to keep beating up old horse, but I mean, Gloria Monty came in and she spent tons of money rewriting scripts and redoing sets on a show that had been given the death knell. GH was out in 6 months. You know, so why, I don't know. Maybe it will make it more economic for them to stay on, but is it just life support? You know, I mean, spend some money. Spend some of that P&G coffee money that they're making selling coffee or whatever on making this show great again.
I hate to transition from making Guiding Light great to talking about the fact that, or asking the question, I should say, did Olivia really have a threesome this last week? I know that.
I sure hope so.
Because I just kept sitting there, and it was like, it sort of began on the end, towards the end of one episode and carried over into the second episode or into a second episode, and I didn't quite catch the entire context of everything that was going on because I was watching it and doing other things. But the impression that I got was that Guiding Light literally had her have a threesome. Am I wrong in this, or was that
no,
what happened?
It was implied, and Personally, I don't think her cart could actually take it. I mean, she could barely walk around across the room without having, you know, having to sit down and catch her breath. So I don't know how she would have pulled that one off.
Okay, I don't. Wait.
You didn't miss the implication in that one.
Well, I don't mean to put any words in your mouth, but thanks to the hiccuping of the audio, it came your sentence came across as picking up her breasts. I'm not exactly sure that was intended, but Jay, what did you think of Olivia's threesome this week?
I actually didn't see it. I read about it, and I thought it's kind of humorous, but. What, you know, it kind of, it's just like, you know, now I'm going into the whole nuke thing, but Olivia can have rumored threesomes, Henry and Brad can cuddle, but Luke and Noah can't kiss. What's
Henry and Brad can cuddle?
Oh, that was hilarious, though. That was funny.
They woke up snuggling on As the World Turns.
I missed that.
That was funny.
Okay.
I think they're doing a wink at us with the whole nuke thing, on, you know, because they had two guys waking up in the bed together like that. So I don't know, but it just kind of, I was like, what about the allegedly offended fan base, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing I want to ask about, Mike, I may have to have you look for screen caps for this, because I was really, really wanting to do it, and then I went and deleted inadvertently deleted the episode off my computer. Olivia's daughter, in the same week that Olivia is having threesomes, her daughter, Ava, is literally sticking it to the man by putting a stick pin through a condom so that she can get pregnant with Bill, saying, "It's my turn now," having sex with him, and then putting her legs up on the headboard. I realize that soaps are supposed to be edgy, but this isn't something you necessarily see that often, and if you do, it's usually because some romantic couple is trying to have a baby and haven't been able to, so she puts her legs up. But is it just me, or is Guiding Light becoming a bit skanky?
That's a bit skanky. And the whole thing is, like, they just pulled that a couple years ago when Dinah was sticking pins in the condom to get Jeffrey to get her pregnant. So it's not even
original
story from a long time ago. It's just like, we just did this a couple years ago. And why does she want his baby so badly? I mean, I know she wants to.
I think she's literally she literally has insecurity issues about Lizzie, and she wants to have what Lizzie has. Or if another thing that was obvious in the storytelling this last week, Harley said the fact that, "I don't have to worry about anything. I did well. I got pregnant by two rich men. Both, one's a Bauer and one's a Spalding. These kids are set for life." I mean, that's basically what Ava's motto is.
Her Harley's first kid's by a Lewis, so she didn't do too bad there either. But Ava is a pointless character to me, so I guess I fast forward through much of her stuff. I mean, she's not even a good distraction. You know, you need a good foil for a couple, but I mean, she doesn't make me want to tune in and see her come between busy. I mean, she's just a fly in the ointment. I mean, I just don't think she's worth staying, you know, around. If, you know,
I agree. Well, I agree.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, because on Instant Messenger, Jay, you went and made a comment about a post I made. The CBS fan panel for Guiding Light was out this week, and we put screen caps up of it. And one of the screen caps was, "Will Cassie and Josh's life get back to normal now that Will is gone?" Option number one was yes. All of Cassie's attention went to making things up to Will. And with him gone, Josh, Cassie, and RJ can have their lives back. Option number two, maybe. Cassie feels like she failed Will. It may not be so easy to get back to normal. Option number three, no. All Cassie can see is that she has lost, not how it affects her family. Josh and RJ are on their own. Option number four, I'm not sure. Your immediate reaction to that was what?
They really think that this freaking Josh and Cassie crap is a couple that we want to root for. I haven't paid attention or cared about Cassie since Laura Wright left for GH. I'm sorry. Cassie's last good romance was with Prince Richard, and her breaking up the show's money super couple and these kids traipsing around Hart Jessup's farm, it's boring. And I'm sick of Cassie and her whining about that dead girl. I'm just sick of it. You know, nobody on soaps mourns as long as Cassie has. We have actually watched her mourn for a year. We don't want that on our soaps. I mean, yes, that's real life, but, you know, you never even hear about Don, the kid Monica Quatermain lost on GH. You know, but Cassie's kid is Tammy. It's depressing. We hear about Tammy every day. The big storyline with Jonathan coming back. Tammy. Was Tammy even really that popular?
Oh, those are fighting words for some of our listeners.
She was no Blake and Ross, who they got rid of to promote the incest of our lives. I'm sorry. They got rid of all these great couples like Blake and Ross and Danny and Michelle, and then they turned it into the incest show. Tammy wasn't all that. I'm sorry. Let's get over Tammy and get Josh and Reba back together.
Folks, please do not send your hate mail to me. Do not stop listening to these episodes. All of you Jammy fans, I know that what Jay just said was probably traumatizing, but please bear with us. Mike, I want to ask you about something, Mike, because I think Jay brought up a good point in that Guiding Light is in many respects, or has in many respects, become a depressing show. On the fifth question on the CBS fan panel, which of these storylines are you tuning in for every day? Harley and Cyrus come clean and break Marina's heart. Olivia attempts to keep Gus from Natalia and all to herself. Lizzie gives up Sarah and Bill fights for Lizzie. Cassie's refusal to see Will as beyond her help. And Dinah and Mallet's failed romance. Might I just ask, are any of those not depressing?
No, they're not, and I'll be really brutal and say that if my job, in quotes, because this isn't a job, didn't depend on me watching the show, I probably wouldn't.
Oh, if it wasn't for Busy, I'd stop. I mean, I would seriously consider stopping. I mean, if it wasn't for the website and Busy.
Right. If it's important for the blog. It's important for the podcast. It's important for the forums that, you know, I kind of keep up with it. And but there's nothing. It's been so long since I've was excited about anything that's going on right now.
And of particular interest to me was the last option, because one of the reasons why I got hooked on the show in terms of romances, these Dinah and Mallet and Lizzie were the three major characters that I got hooked on. Mm-hmm. You actually asked the question, am I tuning in every single day to see Dinah and Mallet's failed romance? Didn't you just use the word failed? What about that is appealing? I mean, I love Dinah and Mallet's chemistry. Amazing chemistry. I want them back together. Their scenes are great. But
And they actually had some last week.
I know!
You know, Dinah just... Oh, I like her.
Gina?
And yeah, and now that this thing with her being the Philip, I would have liked to have seen her do that all along. And this is typical Guiding Light, you know, to have everybody worry about Philip. And as a viewer, all this stuff from Philip was more or less, it wasn't rooted in anything. We watched Dinah struggle with her brain injury and try to put her life back together. And then all of a sudden she disappeared. And now she's going to be revealed to be the person that's causing all this commotion about Philip. I think it would have been better if we could watch her process through this whole thing and know that she was doing it all along. And I think it would have been a lot more fun to watch, because Dinah's fun to watch. And we could have just kind of gone along for the ride with her and in her mind.
And you know what I would have liked?
To piece it back together. Don't you think that would have been better? And she would have been on doing it. Now that it's revealed to be, it's like, well, so what? What significance did it have on anybody's life except Beth is getting a text message from Philip? What does that – I mean, I don't know. It's
just, you know what I would love?
It does nothing for me.
What I would have loved to have seen would have been for Alex and Dinah to team up to pull this off. Because to me, if you had the insider aspect of, say, Alexandra working with Dinah to fake her family out and take control of the fortune as those two, or Alexander takes over the company and Dinah rides away with a huge sum of money. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Or Lizzie, who turned 18 and was supposed to inherit, and nothing ever happened with that. Wouldn't it be great if Lizzie was putting the screws to Alan?
Yeah, and I don't understand.
You know what I mean?
And that's just one thing I don't understand about this show. How is it that Lizzie can be such a victim to Alan? Because she turned 18, she was supposed to inherit one of the largest chunks of Spalding stock. Lizzie is a smart enough cookie, having worked with Bill, that she knows enough about business where she could take and basically say, shove off, Grandpa Alan. I'm going to do this, or else I'm going to bring this company to a screeching halt because I control a third of the company.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if Alan might not get watered down. I mean, Philip has fathered half the children in town now. You know, Lizzie used to be an only kid, but I mean.
But that's also money that was put in there by Alan, I'm sure.
Right.
Right. And it would be something that she would be fighting for, that she felt that she deserved. And
they have a perfect next generation of the Spaldings with all of Philip's kids. I don't know why they aren't aging them. And, you know, I mean, how many more times can Grandpa Alan take all the kids in town? I mean,
that's what I was just going to say. Alan has been one note for so long. He's almost unbearable to watch.
Yeah,
for me.
And I much favor Alexandra. She's much more subtle and classic in her villainy than, I mean, Alan's is just cartoonish.
And there's times when you don't want to know who the villain is, or, you know, like, I think in Marina's case, it would be kind of fun to not know that Marina was doing this all along, but and then other times when I think it would be better to know who's doing it so you can watch it happen and see the effects. And this is the one thing, like with Dinah, I think it would have had a much bigger impact if you knew she was doing it all along and you could just watch her have fun with it. Kind of like Blake and the Blogger thing, which
What's
went nowhere.
That about?
So excited
well,
that
we were
so
running
excited that Blake was going to come back, and then she disappeared.
We don't have time to go into Guiding Light or As the World Turns any longer because we are running out of time. We mentioned on the Performer of the Week episode, we're all loving Allie Mills on Bold and the Beautiful with the fact that she ate the tea bag and pointed a gun at Donna. It was awesome, awesome stuff. In brief, because we sort of hashed it out on the podcast or the Performer of the Week episode, what did you think of Bold and the Beautiful this week, Mike?
I did pick Ashley Jones as Bridget. My highlight for the week is when she went off on Brooke, and Katie told Brooke she was selfish, and then Bridget followed up with it, and she laid out all this stuff that she's been holding back for a long time. So that was a really big highlight for me, along with the Pam and Donna stuff and how she insinuated herself into that job.
Oh, that was great.
So she got herself a job and she could keep track of Eric and Donna. So I like that.
Jay, what did
you
think?
It was good. I mean, that's the one show that I've actually consistently been able to watch. Except Nick drives me crazy. I don't know what side of the fence he's on. I don't know why he would go to bed with Bridget knowing how she feels when he's in love with Brooke.
Why not? He's bedded every Forrester woman.
He's just creating more problems.
That's a happy sailor, I'm telling you.
I guess so. Jeez.
B&B is great. I'm still loving it. I do have a couple of gripes. Number one, please someone tell the original four Forrester kids to grow the heck up. What do you mean? What is Felicia? She's 40, crying, "Daddy, don't leave our family." She's got a kid, and she's not even married to the dad. You know,
right.
And he has grown children with his second wife. That is so silly, but it's funny to watch because, I mean, there are people like that, I guess. Gripe number two, I love Pammy. She's so funny. She's nuts. But did they have to make her bipolar? People in this country are already scared enough about mental illness. I mean, if my doctor tells me he thinks I'm bipolar, I'm locking myself in the closet now because, I mean, you know, that's
But just
that's
take your pills.
Reason.
That's all you need.
Okay, jeez. So I won't get a Doberman and kill people. And my point three, Luke might like this because maybe it's me getting over my Heather Thomas, Victoria Newman fetish.
Finally.
I like Katie. I like her with Nick. I want him to leave Boar Bridget alone and get with Katie.
You know, no, Bridget, her and Thorn.
I like the guy who plays Thorn, but I haven't really enjoyed. Well, I liked him with Brooke, but that's about it. But I love Brooke, so I don't. Thorn and Katie, nah. I like the chemistry between Nick and Katie. It's there. I mean, they've got a little spark going.
Well, we actually got to see Ashley for a moment, and supposedly she's going to be jumping over to Young and the Restless here to celebrate, what is it, the 35th anniversary or the 5,000th episode? One of the two.
35th.
Danny Romilotti is back as of Tuesday or Monday, depending on if you catch the last of the Monday episode. What do you think this will be something that will actually get some sort of really good spin-off storyline for Daniel? Out of this, or do you think it will just be a pop in and out?
Well, I'm glad he's back, but I kind of roll my eyes, even though I know YNR is in a rebuilding phase and I'm giving them hope. You know, I'm not going to criticize too much, but when did this happen on screen? Daniel and Danny didn't have a falling out. Danny decided he was going to let the kid get to know his mother, and he left. They didn't have a big, where's this, their hatred now? I mean, the man raised him alone for 17 years. You know, he got over his issues with Phyllis quicker. I don't know why he's angry at Danny. I guess that's, you know, just being made up for drama's sake. But
maybe also, the fact that he kept him away from Phyllis for so long?
That might be it. That could be it. I mean, we haven't seen enough yet, but I'm really glad that they're showing a scene with Danny lighting into Phyllis, because I was kind of wondering about that love fest, too, with, you know, Danny hugging Nicholas. I mean, he had no issue with Nicholas, but he and Phyllis are mortal enemies. They're not just normal exes. I mean, he can't stand the woman. So him coming back to launch her magazine was kind of a stretch, but I know, you know, they're just trying to amp the show back up, but, you know.
Mike, any thoughts on Young and the Restless this week?
Not really. I mean, it was just kind of plodding along. There was nothing really that caught my attention. It's obvious that Sabrina is going to hook up with Victor, though, don't you think?
Oh, God. They might as well drop
it. Yeah, exactly.
No chemistry whatsoever.
No. Except that they speak French together, which I suppose is supposed to make you feel more romantic.
No, all that means is that you are European. That's all it does. It has nothing
to do... Do you think that she's got Victoria's best interest at heart? There's just something about her that it doesn't set right with me. And maybe I'm just thinking that she seems kind of phony. But when she talks to Victoria, I just don't feel like she's not a friend with her. Does that make sense?
I was hoping this might be one last reject from Lynn-Marie Latham and they wrap her up and send her back to France. Mm-hmm. But... I hope she's not sticking around. She can't match Eric Braeden in a scene. No way.
No. And Nick, forget it.
Oh, my Nick, gosh. One thing that that I'm enjoying is Jack and Sharon. Who knew Sharon was such a little schemer?
Of course you are. Of course you're enjoying them. They're going after Gloria.
But I thought it would be Sharon... You know, when I found out about them, you know, hiring the ghost or the guy to play John, I figured Jack would come up with the idea and Sharon would be the disapproving wife. It was Sharon's idea. That's nuts to me. I'm like, Sharon?
Yeah. I mean, I figured she'd be the one that didn't want to do it because she's always kind of scared to try something different or something out of the norm. But yeah,
and
you're right.
She's a lot more moral than nice. Jack.
Yeah. She's having fun with it.
Well...
Oh, yes, he's having a ball, but Gloria would make your evil side come out.
Moving on to Days of Our Lives, we're going to tread some very touchy ground, shall we say, here for the next few minutes, because we're going to discuss a rumor which we are looking everywhere on Earth to try and to confirm so that we can post it on the blog as potential news or official rumors. But we haven't been able to, so we're going to discuss this entire thing with a giant allegedly and a giant, or even more giant, hypothetically. Allegedly, hypothetically speaking, rumors have it that Days of Our Lives and ABC are this close, and you cannot see my fingers because you're listening to this, but they're really close together, from cutting a deal which would allow Days of Our Lives to be turned into a half-hour soap and make the jump to ABC, allowing ABC to finally have a show on the 12 o'clock hour, which even though it would be a half hour, so it would be like 12:30 to 1, to fit that time slot that would have a large enough audience to make it profitable. First impressions, and then we'll go into ramifications. Jay, as the longest Days of Our Lives viewer, what do you think of these rumors, hypothetically, allegedly, and every other type of disclaimer in front of them speaking?
Well, I've heard it for years. If it keeps Days alive long enough to rebuild, then so be it. I would question, and of course, I know why ABC is going to do it. I mean, I know why allegedly ABC would make them the 30-minute soap, and that's because they don't want to tick off their own core ABC fans, but it doesn't make sense business-wise, in my opinion, when All My Children is faltering and Days could much easily be built back up. I would keep Days at an hour and cut All My Children down to the Susan Lucci and her daughter's show and have 30 minutes.
But you're forgetting
with Jesse and Angie.
You're forgetting one all-important thing. All My Children is the second highest in the 18 to 34 demo. Mike. What is your first impressions of the hypothetically rumored, allegedly speaking rumor?
Well, I guess I wouldn't really be surprised that Days would go over to ABC. They're the one show, like General Hospital, that if you watch one show, that's the one you watch. So it wouldn't surprise me that they would try to pick up that group of people and try to hook them on the rest of their lineup. Getting it to a half an hour, though, that to me, I can't imagine.
Let's discuss that.
It just seems.
Let's discuss that.
That
for
seems
a few
to
minutes.
Me that would be a huge difference of that show because there are so many people on it, and there's seems to always be a lot going on. They'd have to do a lot of cutting to get it down to a 30-minute show.
Well, let's discuss that for a few minutes here. Before we do, in terms of initial reaction. I've always thought that Days of Our Lives would either end up on ABC or SoapNet. I didn't really expect it to be cut to a half hour, if allegedly, supposedly, rumoredly true. But if there's one soap out there that would fit the ABC lineup like a glove, it would be Days of Our Lives because, it is, like the ABC shows, they're very plot point driven. It would fit at ABC way more than it would ever CBS. Let's discuss the details. Or the hypothetically, allegedly, supposedly, rumoredly details.
If you look at the storylines turning toward the mob, which is the rumor on a lot of things for Days, and that seems to be the direction they're going, it would actually be not out of the realm of possibility if you start lining up your stories to be similar to attract other people.
Well, and let's talk about one other thing here. If you were to use the Bold and the Beautiful blueprint, which has worked very successfully for Bold and the Beautiful, you have a matriarch who's a bitch. You have a romantic heroine who is goes back and forth between two men. And everybody else's family just sort of revolves around them. First impressions on that for Days of Our Lives would obviously be, for me, would be Kate versus Sammy continued into ad nauseum in a EJ Lucas triangle. To me, if you were going to follow the Bold and the Beautiful format, that would be how you set up this show to go to a half-hour format. What other potential ideas do you think that they could come up with to be able to successfully try a half-hour format? Jay?
Well, here's my thinking. You go with the money, and no, I would definitely, you know, the current EJ Sammy Lucas triangle, I don't think it's very successful. It's not the most successful Sammy story they've done. Sammy would definitely be in the equation with Lucas, but I'd probably cut EJ and, you know, try to lure
back. Crazy.
No, I'd lure back Matt Sedano as Brandon, who is actually a lot more popular, and there's no rape controversy there. I would, with a 30-minute show, you put John and Marlena at one top triangle. I mean, and then at the next point, you've got a Bo and Hope storyline, you've got a Patch and Kayla storyline, and those are your three big storylines. You play the teens heavy in the summer with, you know, Max, Stephanie, Chelsea, Victor. Sammy is definitely in the core of this triangle with Lucas and whomever. I think they've really ruined EJ for a lot of people because of the rape.
Okay, what you just said is what's going on currently now. John Merlena, Bo Hope, Patch, Kayla, Sammy, and teens in the summer. That's the exact same storyline we have right now.
Written well.
But you can't condense what they have now into a half hour.
Yes, you can. Bold and the Beautiful used to have a much larger cast. It's called the old soap format, ABC storylines, and then you rotate people on and off the back burner. You don't try to have them on all at the same time. And you basically put Doug, Julie, Maggie, Caroline, Tony, Anna, all those people on recurring and show them, you know,
aren't they already?
Like you would. I think Tony and Anna are back on contract.
Because I thought they have recurring because they're temporary.
But they're recurring, but they show them every day. They just would have to kind of, you know, not disappear. But, you know, John and Marlena would definitely come in as the matriarch and patriarch.
See, I do not agree with your analysis. Just for the simple fact that if there's two things that Days of Our Lives cannot lose, and two things only, it is Sammy and Marlena. Because if that's
if you think they can lose Bo and Hope,
I'm not saying that they can lose Bo and Hope. But what I'm saying is that through all the tough times and everything else that has been wrong with those shows, no one has kept things alive for them the way Marlena and Sammy has. Now, Mike, what do you think is the plan, or what would be your plan, hypothetically, allegedly speaking?
I would not rotate my story around Sammy and Lucas and EJ.
No.
Sammy inherently is a scheming character, although she's been mellowed out. Brooke is always been the heroine of Bold and the Beautiful. So that, to me, would mean that Sammy would always be perpetually bouncing between you guys, and she would never be the schemer that she always was before. So I don't think that is a formula that would work.
Well, I'm not saying that's what it is, but I'm just saying if they were to try the Bold and the Beautiful format, that's what we would have.
Right. Well, that's why I'm just saying that's why I don't think it would. Well, my opinion is if they would try that formula that as you proposed it, I don't think it would work.
Bo and Hope would work better as Ridge and Brooke. And getting Bo and
Bo and Hope are a couple that's been together for a long time, and
I don't think that you can – how do I put this? I love Bo and Hope. I love John and Marlena. They have huge fan bases, vocal fan bases, and very important fan bases. But I think you both are underestimating the power and the influence that Allison Sweeney Sammy has.
Because, no, Luke, we're not. It's not Sammy. Not,
I know, but it's like you guys are making it sound. You guys are making it sound like she's going to be running fourth fiddle on this thing. And it's like I don't understand how you can have Days of Our Lives with her as fourth fiddle.
What we're saying is Sammy is not being written at her core. They need to turn Sammy back into the manipulating puppet string pulling bitch, not putting her in this horrible romantic triangle with these two guys that is boring. They have to get Sammy back to her core, scheming, stealing DNA results and being a bitch. That's what Sammy is supposed to be on Days.
See,
and then, yes, she is one of their money characters. But seeing her cry and play old grandmas from Ireland, that's not going to help save Days.
I agree with you there. My only question would be is, when it comes to Sammy, now that she has two young children, obviously her having Will did not stop her from scheming, but now instead of having one child, she has three. Do you think it's possible that she's going to grow up more? Because if anything, the character has had a bit of character development, which is good from time to time. What type of storyline do you turn her into as a scheming mother of multiple children? Does she just become Carly on General Hospital?
Or Carly on As the World Turns. I would rather see Carly struggle with her id for 20 years like we've watched Susan Lucci struggle with hers. That's what keeps people tuning in. I mean, yeah, we want them to grow up a little bit, but we love living through vicariously what Sammy does. We want to see Sammy. Look at Brooke Logan. She's got a passel of children, and she hasn't grown up, and that soap does wonderfully. I mean,
and look at Stephanie. She's got children, and she's a hell on wheels. That's never stopped her from being the type of
anything,
horrible character that she is.
If anything, we could see Will recast and have a love interest that Sammy doesn't like and have her scheme like Barbara does against her kids on As the World Turns. I mean, well, Sammy at her core has to be a schemer.
I totally agree with you there. It set me a little bit back when you went John Marlena, Bo Hope, Patch, Kayla, Sammy. It was like, on what planet does Patch and Kayla have more influence on Days of Our Lives than Sammy does in today's environment?
Because if Patch... we're basing a lot on today's environment.
Well, you have to. That's what would be the thing. Well, I mean, that's what ABC's buying.
No, they're buying the franchise. Basically, they can rebuild Patch and Kayla if they get someone to write them correctly. There was so much buzz and so many fans wanting that couple back. It's not a detriment to the couple that it hasn't worked. It's a detriment to the writing and the producing that they wrote these piss-poor stories. If they write Patch and Kayla correctly, they will have a huge moneymaker tent couple.
I agree. I can't imagine a Days of Our Lives without Sammy, not necessarily front and center, but second seat and center. If that makes sense.
Right. Well, you have that opinion, but there's people that say that they can't imagine it without a Marlena and John or a Bo and a Hope.
Oh, and I agree with those.
Bo and Hope are the most stable couple, the most stable couple, they're the ones that you would think would perpetuate the matriarch-patriarch because they are stable, and that's what makes that.
They've got tons of history. They can bring back Glenn, the guy that took Bo and Hope's, the other kid. Remember JT, the one that turned out not to be Bowen Hope's? He could come back after his wife has died, and that could cause trouble. He needs Hope to be a mother to the kid. They could recast Billy, you know, and actually do it right this time.
Hey!
You know, Carly Manning is... I didn't say about Julie Pinson. I'm talking about writing her right.
Okay. Just to clarify, I was going to say casting her right this time. That's...
No,
I also think that there's enough drama with their children that they don't have to worry about being broken up with other outside forces. I mean, Chelsea's a handful, and they've still never really gotten around to making amends with her.
So here's a hypothetical I'll just ask you about. Mike mentioned it earlier in terms of Sammy becoming Kate. Do you think?
Well, that was me.
Oh, that was you. I'm sorry. I thought it was Mike who mentioned it. But if you were to take and turn Sammy into Kate by sourcing her twins to the point where all of a sudden they are the next teen group, do you think that's something that is viable, or do you think that automatically makes Sammy or puts a bunch of extra years on Sammy that she doesn't need at this point?
Don't source the twins. Will's already 16 or 17.
And bring he could on. Be- a- He could be hell on wheels, too. I mean, he could be a cut from his mother's cloth with all the crap that she's pulled on him.
Like Parker on As the World Turns.
It would be perfectly logical for him to be a bad kid.
Then you bring on a new woman for Lucas that, you know, Lucas is trying to move on with, and Sammy could keep, you know, manipulating and using kids against him.
I agree with what you're saying. In terms of the characters and the fact that, yes, it would be awesome if we had great writing, but if we just assume we're working on the premise of the writing we've had, I think that we've got way too many characters that are being talked about and thrown around to be able to fit into a half-hour soap. But I could be totally wrong. I would encourage all of you to send in your emails and thoughts on the Days of Our Lives rumors, on the As the World Turns and Guiding Light renewals, and anything else that we've discussed to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Be sure to drop by the forums to discuss this. You can discuss this in the threads at forums.tvfanonline.com or check out this episode's post on daytimeconfidential.com. One final thought, whichever soap you want to discuss it about on CBS or Days, real quick, Jay.
Can't wait to see Ariane Zucker back.
Good one.
Her first day.
I don't know. We need to find out. Mike, final thought?
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how Pam is going to keep torturing Donna. Bold and the Beautiful.
And
that's keeping me interested.
Speaking of Bold and the Beautiful, Nelson Bronco is reporting that Leslie Ann Down, a.k.a. Jackie, has re-signed for another contract. So that is great. I've always loved her. Loved her since the Sunset Beach days, which was where I was first introduced to her as an actress. Very excited about that. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long, folks.
Bye.